strong in the bowl, who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never wait until the last
time.
A celebration of all good things Richmond right now.
Come from nowhere.
Alex Rance.
He's never not going to go, was he? Was he?
Pick up from Cotchin. Left foot snap. The goal of the game.
Trent Zimmer and Brendan Gale deserve all the credit. They've built something fantastic and they're just going to keep riding away.
Martin, 3 votes.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And are we having fun?
Well, I was till we lost on Friday night, but yeah, it's generally good.
And even during the game, it had moments of being fun, but it also had moments of why, you know, I started off, you know, because of restrictions on other things, did I started off watching an awful lot of football. And I have to admit, I'm watching a bit less now. And, yeah, 2020 football, sometimes I love it. Doesn't make for much of a marketing slogan, but I think that's where I'm at.
Yeah, look, I mean, the game had a lot of triggering episodes for both of us.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to shortly. But it sort of, it did, like, we are playing the replacements.
Yeah, and, that's true.
You know, and we are playing against the team that effectively is the bad guy in every bad Hollywood, every Mighty Ducks film.
Yeah.
they're the rich kid from the other side of town.
They are Cobra Kai.
Yeah. whatever generation of films you're quoting from. So, you know, there's a point where there's only so much you could do with Jake Art, a team that's, you know, got Jake Arts and Derek Egan and Lacey Smith playing key roles.
Yeah. So I worked out, conservatively, we had a third of our salary cap out on Friday night. And yeah, you could tell at times it's, you know, Jake Arts is a symbol, but yeah, it's all over the place. And even we go on about GWS and their incredible draft advantage, but yeah, you know, they talk about young Lachie Ash having a good game. Well, Lachie Ash probably should have a good game. He was drafted higher than any Richmond player playing, except for Dusty. He should be pretty good. And he's one of the more than a dozen high draft picks. Like, it just, you know, I'm certain we've got a better culture and we've done great work to develop these guys, but sometimes talent matters.
Yes, sometimes it does, Nick. And, you know, good for you that you didn't go straight to the goal kicking. As the first thing,
I'm still struggling to deal with that.
And look, I must admit, I had a very pleasant game, which with a couple of friends, including Comrade Marshall and Dan Flynn, because Com put it on Twitter. I was enjoying a lot of parts of it, but I did sort of say to them at one point, oh, Nick's going to hate this game so much, and they sort of stared at me blankly, like, what are you talking about? It's like, well, yes, he has, this is very much triggering some of your core beliefs. But look, in some ways it's a story...
Well, it was my two obsession du jour at the moment, the effect of different grounds, despite there's some good research saying that it doesn't matter all that much, but... stick with me, and goal kicking, and how goal kicking affects the result. And I was shocked to hear that we didn't win the game on expected score, but yeah, we kicked 6-14, like, ugh. And, you know, a lot of them weren't great chances, but we could have kicked a lot better than that.
Yeah, absolutely, and we could have kicked a lot better, and so there's two stories there, and, you know, this is one time... Oh, by the way, Nick, so your two obsessions are goal-kicking and grounds, and your third long-running obsession is how many concessions the GWS has.
Well, that's very team concession, team-specific. And actually, can I... while we're being peak smug Richmond supporters, can we say... the Showgrounds ground in Sydney had more games on it than usual because, you know, GWS has played almost all their games at home so far on the season. And, you know, I think it's played 5 games there in 7 weeks, and the ground looks like a goat track, right? MCG does 3 games a weekend. Looks fine.
Yeah, and it's sort of like, how hard is it to grow grass in Sydney? You know, plenty of sunshine and there's plenty of rain. Anyway, so yeah, look. So the story of the analytically, like, it is a depressing game when you're sort of the, you know, I think on the inside 50s. I'm just checking the stat. Yeah, overall we were plus 14 and. Like, we've lost games to them several times in the last few years where we've had a plus 10 inside 50 counts. So, look, the expected shots, I intuitively, like, stats have to make sense to me, and intuitively, just watching the game, it felt like Toby Green was, and rewatching the game, it felt like every 10 seconds Toby Green was kicking it from 50 or a very sharp angle, and we were missing a 50-50 shot. Now, probably if you're being slightly less emotive, you could see that a lot of our shots were low quality, but they and you know they had a couple of easy shots like the Jacob shot and a few others. But yeah, it did feel like Green was slotting all sorts of great shots. Now he's a very talented guy, unfortunately, so he does it. But yeah, if it wasn't the goal shooting, like, it is definitively true that we weren't cutting through in our inside 50s. You know, once again, we dominated and weren't able to slot. And that, you know, maybe that goes to the other point you were about, the players are out, because we weren't, you know, our inside 50, we weren't winning really high-quality ball through the midfield as much as we would have if we had the A-team in there.
Don't, Dusty, except...
Yeah, and we gave up maybe one or two marks that if we had a centre-half back, we were still playing whatever we're paying rent, $800,000 a year, might not have been taken. There's all... Yeah, we'll come to Dusty. Good point, Dusty. But, yeah, overall, I think, you know it is... You just got a lot of very important players who are out and struggling, and that does affect your ability to convert those inside 50s, which was, overall, actually... Like, it was a bit of a triumph of game plan. Like... You know, we're playing against a good team away on their deck, a ton of injuries, and we sort of, we managed to play them to a point where we probably should have won. That's actually, you know, that's pretty impressive overall. I know, as depressing as it was to happen to you.
Yeah, I know. Look, we were plus 15 in intercepts, we were plus 10 in inside 50 tackles. Like, I can't think of the last time we had both of those and didn't win. Like, it's very Richmond football.
Well, the ball was in our forward half 59% of the time, so 60% of the time.
Like yeah.
That's a pretty big domination.
Yeah, teams normally win in those situations. It is, look, GWS do play, bizarrely enough, for the league's most talented team. They do play a very defensive style, and I think they are happy to sit back a bit and rely on their talent going forward to get goals on their rare occasions forward. But
yeah, it's a thing, right? They've done it to us multiple times, and
particularly at the Showgrounds.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's very narrow ground. There's not much space. Space for the small forwards. Like it was noticeable that, you know, we moved Dan Rioli up the ground to get him into the game. There was just nothing happening inside forward 50 with our crummers, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is the small forward play. Do you think we're noticing it more, but that it's lacking something? Because Butts is playing so well for St Kilda, or would we be noticing it otherwise?
Yeah, we'd still be noticing it. It is a certain poignancy. But every time people bring that up, I go and look at how often Butts played in the VFL in the last couple of years, and I'm like, oh, we gave him a really good go. We drafted him in 2014.
Yeah.
He just wanted more regular senior football somewhere else. We didn't delist him.
Yeah. Look, it's hard. Yeah. Like, you know, actually, No, you go.
Who do you want to start with that impressed you? Because, I mean, we've mentioned Dusty and he's perhaps the obvious one, and he looked great. But who else?
Well, I actually thought, since I almost never talk about Dusty till we're two-thirds of the way through the podcast, I did want to point out that it wasn't his best rating game for the year, but it must have been his best rating game since the break. I think he was good against Carlton because he was our best player, third best on ground. Toby Green was by far the best on ground. You know, Spicky had been slightly unlucky. He comes back into the team and absolutely kills us. But yeah, like, credit to Dusty, he started to look like Dusty of old, which hopefully...
Andy?
Well, Nick, you know, often I don't talk about Dusty till far into the podcast. I think, you know, maybe it's... just for once, I'd start with Dusty, and it wasn't his best game of the season on the ratings, actually.
Really?
Yeah, no, I think he was good against Carlton, but I think it's his best since the return.
That was such a long time ago.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, speaking of slightly bad luck, is that Toby Green was by far the best on grounds on the ratings. Absolutely killed it and had just come back into the team. You know, he's probably the difference between the two sides. Actually, almost certainly the difference between the two sides. Dusty looked pretty close to being fully operational, Dusty. So, I did find that a really good sign. That's, if it wasn't sort of a flash in the pan, that's, you know, 9 clearances, 500 metres gained, plenty of led the team in scoring involvements, yes, easily. Bolton had 8, we'll come to him. That probably was, to me, the best thing that came out of the game, and probably the next one is Bolton, you're going to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just going to say, if Dusty's going to move that well and just look confident, I feel better about our chances for the month ahead. Speaking of moving well, the TV broadcast highlighted Bolton's overlapping play where, you know, he'd be involved in a contest that would go 40 metres down the field and then suddenly he'd be flashing into the play and dashing away from packs again. It was a really another impressive game from him.
Yeah, he's really stunning. Is he out of contract this year?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, good.
I because I checked that because I thought, oh, he's going to be expensive. but no, I don't think so.
Yeah, and if I was Fremantle, having just played one of the all-time worst games, we actually had a Fremantle friend. We had a friend who was in the wet in Western Australia watching Fremantle score. Was it one goal all game? Well, certainly one goal by the time I turned it off deep in the second half. Like, it did remind me of the very worst of Richmond sitting in the rain to watch an awful team get beaten. But yes, you'd be definitely...
Which is funny because I don't remember any of the times we did that and lost. I only remember the ones that we won.
True. I don't know if you remember, but we did so always make sure we went to the games where we were half a chance. but yeah, like, how desperate would you be if someone like Bolton has got a bit of cut through at the moment?
Mm. Yeah, he's out of contract next year. sign him up.
Always buy high. Yep.
particularly on a Ralph Carr client.
Yes. We'll come to another one of those, another Ralph Carr client in a second. Shorty continues his very rich fame and form.
Indeed. Played well. Look, it was almost hard to judge the defence at times, because they were the ball, you know, the Jones were flooded back and then it would come back to our defenders who'd have the outnumber and sort of just work it out amongst themselves. But yeah, the Shorty, when things were hot, he was definitely cracking in super hard. Actually, did Liam Baker. I was thinking about how players look faster when they acclimatise to the speed of the game, and I think he's reading senior football better now and hitting the contests at pace, and he actually looks quicker than he used to. He may have done some training as well because his tracking data is also pretty good, but I actually thought of him as not the quickest player given his size, but he's hitting contests hard. I really like it.
Yeah, look, I wasn't worried about it. Like, I don't know, he doesn't test great in the speed because, you know, that's...
Well, he's actually started to flash up on top five fastest players on the ground, which I did not expect.
Ah, interesting. No, because but he wasn't a blinding fast as a junior, was he? Because otherwise he wouldn't have been a rookie list player.
But and he's 5 foot, and he's under 5 foot eight.
Yes. Hindsight, his junior coach shouldn't have played him as a ruckman. He was. I didn't worry. I thought he. Because he's smart and he attacks the ball hard, I wasn't quite as worried about his speed. But yeah, he only had 11 touches. But I sort of think about him as a well-established part of the team. Now, the one guy who he only had 15 touches, but was right up high on the AFL ratings was McIntosh, because his disposal was perhaps... He had 8 contested and perhaps was slightly more effective with the ball than... usual, although I must admit he only had 50% kicking efficiency, but did good things at times. So I was happy for K-Mac because I was slightly worried he was going to get dropped after last week.
Yeah, and he did have one. I love when K-Mac and an opponent are both running for the ball, and he just gets to monster one. Yeah, that's really fun.
Where are you at with Pickett?
I was thinking he could have nearly won the game, like the. He had a couple of times running into forward 50, clear with the ball on a day when we had so few of those opportunities. So his second half was quite good, but he was invisible in the first quarter. I didn't notice him at all.
He had 3 touches in the first half.
Yeah, it wasn't very good. I thought.
God!
I have in my notes that...
He had 11 pressure acts and 1 tackle. Oh, that's horrendous.
He's been really good at that recently, so yeah.
Like, he had less than half of Dusty's pressure racks. Like, he had less than half, less than Dusty has on his worst days when, you know, Dusty's also kicked 5 goals.
Yeah, I had in my notes that I thought the second-tier midfielders were, you know, because GWS's midfielders are all, you know, gun athlete, high draft picks. I think they did, you know, Jack Graham, 6 disposals.
Yeah, didn't get a touch in the first quarter either. Yeah.
What it means having all the, you know, Prestia, Koch and Edwards out is that they get to sit De Boer on Kane Lambert, you know, who's also down for most of the day. I thought our second tier midfielders, which I was worried about going into the game, then they got shown up, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it's sort of a problem when you're, like, in some ways, with the greatest respect, you know, but, you know, Arts and Nash are sort of almost your fourth tier players. You know, they're not your first replacements. They haven't even been your second replacements. And now they've sort of been forced to play, and both of them struggled at level. You know, Nash, okay, it's his first game, but neither of, you know.
And again, he was slow at the start. He worked into it a bit. Like, there was just no, it did not, the game did not suit him at all in terms of, like, there is a player who was born to roam the open wings of the MCG. And so a super tight contested game didn't suit him, but Yeah, that was tough.
Yeah, and Arts, as probably people probably know, had 5 disposals. We've just gone about through four negatives, so Rioli, although again didn't have a high possession game, only had 8, but he's actually pressure X, right up. There was 39, which is, you know, actually really solid for a small forward.
That's quite high.
Yeah, and actually George had the same figure, but kicked a nice goal.
I thought George was better this week too. Yeah. You never know what you're going to get with George, bless.
No, Mr. Chaos. Rioli also had 6 tackles, so, you know, sort of classical, well, he didn't get much on the stat sheet. Well, you know, that's if you only look at disposals, but did a lot defensively. Well, actually, that's probably true. You can prove that. So, yeah, I had no problem with either of their games. Nick?
No, Bolter.
Oh, okay.
Before we talk about Soldo, it's hard to tell how well Noah Bolter played because he had virtually no one-on-ones, but what he did do was pretty good, and he never got dominated by Leon Cameron, I don't think anybody got dominated by Leon Cameron, but
maybe Nathan Buckley last year.
Yeah, Jeremy Cameron did nothing. But Dimmer trusted him to play on Cameron when we know Grimes did a. Well, we know that Grimes plays on the most dangerous forward. I took it as a vote of confidence.
Yeah, look, I think lots of people said this, but the fact that we took so long to talk about Bolter was a really good sign. He just neutralised his opponent. In his case, because he can do the flashy highlights, you know, if he'd done a couple of really long, lovely kicks and had 3 goals kicked on him, we would have thought we didn't learn anything. But I think it's real progress for him to be boring and just shut down a very good player.
I know. And Dave Asprey did a... did the new Tiger Time show with Jack Rewild, where Jack's clearly preparing his transition from being a footballer, but talked about...
Yes, almost in front of our eyes.
No, needing to focus on the game throughout the whole game, and that's still a work in progress for him. But, yeah, I think progress has definitely been made. I think we'd all love... He's so exciting when he does get the ball. You know, we'd all love that. Hopefully, he just learns how to balance defence and attack a bit more, so that they set him up running off half back and running 15 metres and kicking at 60. So, but yeah, progress definitely being made.
He does seem like, he seems like the poster child for the old cliche that he's better in the seniors than the reserves.
Yeah, possibly so. And just how, you know, VFL footy is pretty scrappy as well. So, but no, playing well. Okay, well, let's talk about the ruckman, including, I think, did he rank fifth or sixth in AFL player ratings, Ivan Soldo?
Yeah, no, he did quite well in the champion data ratings. He was the third best freshman player too. He won the hit-out to advantage, won the hit-outs.
Including a beautiful hit-out to Jack for a goal.
Maybe his best hit-out ever. I'm not claiming I'm the definitive Soldo expert, but like I think I would.
I think you're the closest thing the world has to a Soldo expert than a member of his family.
Who is also his position coach. So I would defer to Marich.
On this and so many other topics.
Bench pressing, not growing. Jacobs, okay, so Soldo didn't have a lot of round the ground. He had two disposalless quarters, but Jacobs didn't do anything round the ground either, except for one thing.
Except for that goal in the first quarter.
Well, that's the thing. So this is the point. It's like, it was the goal was almost, it's like a goalkeeper who lets in the one, who plays a great game, stops lots of shots and then lets in the one crucial hour, or it's like the offensive linesman who blocks his opponent beautifully for 60 snaps and then lets the defensive linesman through for a strip sack that decides the game. It's like he did 99% of the game well, but in a really tight game, that one mark absolutely killed us.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so painful.
Yeah, it was pretty frustrating. And, you know, at the other end of the ground, Choldo takes a mark right in front and doesn't get it paid. Like, it's that sort of a day. Choldo had seven disposals.
They didn't take it as a collective.
No, Chol didn't get paid the mark, Choldo only had seven disposals. Between them, despite dominating the tap-outs. Although I got frustrated with Ivy. He noticeably got dragged in the first quarter after Jacobs took that mark, and that was the earliest was rocking of any quarter. But I did get a little bit frustrated. Look, Ivy rocked well most of the day, but he didn't monster Finlayson quite as much as I wanted.
Yeah, there's a question of, so Comrade, you know, it was a big week for the media, and it was interesting, Comrade Marshall's on the club website now. If it's not there officially, you can definitely get it through your members link. Comrade wrote just, you know, a fantastic piece about Soldo. It was really interesting. He's a quirky fellow, but it was interesting.
It was really interesting, yeah.
He talked about his aggressiveness and how it's still, he's not unaggressive, but it still needs work. So I think that goes to your point a bit, is that, when you're the first ruck rating against second ruck, like that, your first thing should be is to physically intimidate them and, you know, make them pay. Point taken.
I have that is a big thing for all ruckman to learn, because you know they're the biggest kids in the playground, so they spend their whole childhood being told to curb their aggressiveness, and then when they do play sport, I'm not that much above average for height, but even a big thing for me playing football was just remembering drop your weight when you tackle, because otherwise you tackle someone high. So there's a lot of learning for ruckman to about how and when they can physically exert themselves at AFL level. And yeah, it's still a work in progress.
And also, Chol, you know, went the first half without a touch. It was funny, he also had an article written about him and multiple other players about, he went on this pre-season boxing camp. I'm starting to sort of, you know, almost because he had a couple of good games in a row, sort of start to believe a bit that, you know, maybe Chol's finally getting it. Like, the thing about Chol was that I never believed in him. Not that I didn't believe him. Also, it's not my job to believe in him. I'm just a podcaster. But I was always a skeptic because he'd always do one great flashy thing in every game that you watch, but he wouldn't turn up to every contest. He wasn't consistent, and he'd do things that you just see him not shirk, but just he'd just completely not show up at some contests. And I found it very frustrating. And you know, just think that's sort of like that's a small forward's characteristics, not a ruckman's. And I was just starting to talk myself into it because he had, you know, last week where he was really influential on the game, and then you read this article about how he's finally got fit, and, you know, I was just starting to convince myself on him, and then he goes and doesn't get a touch in the first half, but does something flashy in the second half, which makes everyone go, oh my God, Chola finally can get his confidence, he could be anything. So I feel like I'm back at square one with him.
He did, if you remember, I think it was the second quarter, Lockie Whitfield kicked out and Chol ran him down. Do you know how many steps that Lockie Whitfield had?
Oh, no. Please tell me.
So, you know, when you measure out a 50 metre penalty, so what you do, you measure, it's just basically you run from the goal. The goal line to the 50-metre arc a couple of times, and you count the number of steps you take, and then when you pay a 50-metre penalty, you try and run a normal stride length for that many steps. Normal stride lengths, AFL player, a bit over a metre. So it's amazing that Lockie Whitfield was taking such tippy-tiny steps that when he took 22 steps running out of the goal square, that he wasn't paid for running too far.
Good point. Yeah.
Yeah, the 30 metres he travelled conservatively.
God, frustrating.
Yeah, it was one of those days. I would, in Nank's absence, I would persist with Chalder.
Well, I guess we don't have a choice, do we? The other thing,
CCJ played okay in the scratch match, but yeah, I think there's enough to work with there.
Well, before we get to that, is there anyone else you wanted to mention? You know, we've sort of, to me, it was a very frustrating game, and I was sort of disappointed we had to do, because the next game's on Wednesday, we had to do a podcast on Tuesday, because I know, we've got to move on.
Look,
another day look, to get over this travesty.
Edgar Mosey-Smith, I think, had the inevitable down playing against a much better team. Clint had De Boer playing against De Boer at one stage. But he's still really confident with his foot skills. He does have the Bashahuli as a younger man issue of needing to apply himself physically in a consistent manner. But yeah, he's really confident with his foot skills. So again, I'd persist with him. And look, the other part where I felt we felt the absences from the team very keenly was in how often Nathan Broad was a link man. Nathan Broad as a link man's fine if he's just handballing it to somebody who can kick, but he's not a very good kick. He's fine, but he's not great.
No, well, I think you know my views on that one. So,
well, should we just mention quickly? So they had the club mentioned that we had five players in a scratch match, which
Yeah, because I thought it was a bit heroic of you to declare from that. I mean, hey, well, what can you say about a scratch match where it's basically non-Richmond players, it's 16 aside, but basically everything was written up fairly positively, so I wouldn't have said that I think you could safely take everything with a grain of salt that was in the match report.
Yes, but I raised it specifically just because I said Oleg Markov was our best player, and I know there are Richmond fans who still believe. So,
actually, that was the one probably meaningful report, but the other CCJ RCD kicked a running goal, had a few bounces. Okay, been there before. But yeah, no, nice about Oleg, and I don't know. Could he sort of play as Jay Cart's pressure forward, but who's got a few more tricks? I don't know, I'm being crazy.
I don't think so. He's fast and he covers the ground. So, and the Bulldogs are a quick team, so it wouldn't be the worst idea. I'll tell you what. Before we go off the game, one of my other extremely niche interests of because
oh, please don't be selection boring again.
one of the great, I love team selection. I've always loved team selection since childhood. And you know our keeping track of it's almost always the case that players who get named as an emergency play senior football, and I was extremely surprised that to see Hugo Ralph-Smith as emergency this week. I had assumed, I think quite reasonably, that somebody who's 188 centimetres and 75 kilos was miles away from senior football, but apparently not.
Look, history show not to reach about this, but I notice he's been in club social media a bit.
Hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, interesting. Nicely spotted. We shall see. I mean, like, he'll play for us eventually, but it'd be good for him. So the one thing about this team is, while I've sort of been slightly disparaging as we've gone deep into our depth, is we're not playing young kids. Like, while we've got a lot of players under 50 games and a reasonable amount of players under 20 games, you know, they're all in their 20s. They've all had a few years in the system. Arts, Eglin, Macy Smith, Naish, none of them are, they're not old, but they're certainly not young. Naish should be the only one who's still got a genuine claim to some youth. But yeah.
Bolter's younger than Naish.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? And, you know, we don't think of Bolter's, what, third-year player? Yeah.
Yep. So not exactly. And he's quite young for his age, for his drafty as well, despite looking like a Greek god.
Oh god, he's a monster, isn't he? Yeah. So it would be really interesting to play a first year player. That would be something. It's very intriguing. As are the Bulldogs, Nick.
Hmm. So we have the worst record against the Bulldogs of any team in the AFL of the Richmond era.
Yeah, we were talking off air before we started. It's like, I had forgotten how badly, because obviously you sort of remember different things about 2019, how badly they flogged us. They destroyed us last time we played.
Yep. And another not very popular team, guess where we always play them? Oh. Not at the MCG.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the Suns, the Giants, Saints, the Bulldogs. We never play these teams at the MCG. Three of the last 10. And in recent times, the only time we've beat them was when we played them at the MCG. So, yeah, Metcon's sort of halfway in between the Docklands and the MCG. I don't think it doesn't play as fast as Docklands does, so I'm mildly encouraged by that. And yeah, Aaron Norton I know that last time was a clear career outlier for him, but no, I'm still happy not to see him nonetheless.
Yeah. What did happen last year was Jack McRae just killed us. He had 36 touches, and he's currently the 15th. This year, he's been the 15th best player in the AFL. So, you know, clear key player for them. And unfortunately, by the way, Dusty's now 12th on the same ranking. So, you know, we've all been saying as you pointed out last week, we're saying he's struggling, but you know, he's not that bad. but yeah, Caleb Daniels also playing very well.
I love Caleb Daniels. I'm fond of the Bulldogs generally. It is such I really enjoyed Martin Flanagan's book about their 2016 premiership. But it is so weird that, you know, a team, you know, came together so amazingly well, just fractured apart almost as soon as it happened. You know, they don't have that many of the premiership players left. I mean, got core players like Bontempelli and McRae, you mentioned. But yeah, it's that, you know, they haven't made the final. They didn't make the finals in 17 or 18. And they're quite inconsistent this year. But gee, when they're good, they're good.
Yeah, it's such a big game. Like, it's such a random season. Like, you just... They're a random team in a year that's particularly prone to high variance outcomes. Yeah.
Yeah, anything can happen.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, like, clearly, you can't say our system plays them well. As you point out, there's a point about, you know, does it play badly or do we just play the West... Docklands badly. Hard to know. But, it's such a random game and so important.
I know.
Like, it's exciting. It's also, it's on a Wednesday night, for God's sake.
Yeah. I know. And how they kick goals is pretty random. You know, Josh Bruce has got 6 goals in a game. They dominated the Bombers, but, you know, it's been pretty quiet. Otherwise, yeah, Mitch Wallace is maybe their most consistent and dangerous forward. They're, as you say, I think they're quite a 2020 team.
Yeah, I really hope Cochin's back. I presume he will play.
The word is he will play, and Asprey at least another week, which as previously discussed. I'm fine with.
I don't think there's any. There's no one in the Bulldogs that, you know, our man Noah can't handle.
Actually, speaking of Noah, do you know Noah never comes off the ground?
Yeah.
He's literally number one in the AFL for time on ground.
Yeah, nice one. I mean, Asprey played very high numbers. It's funny, isn't it? Sometimes when you see him or Asprey or Rance, like they play 98% of the game. You just wonder, like, what was the point of that 2%?
Noah's almost always 100.
Yeah,
maybe. That's interesting, isn't it? It helps him stay focused on the ground. I don't know.
maybe Keith Forwards are just, turns out they're just a bit lazy and not that hard to sit on. You would think, like, Sorry to go on this tangent. We've been going for 40 minutes. It's time to end the show. But, I know you're getting into UFC at the moment because you've got a spare time during lockdown. If you know sort of the heavyweights, they never go, unlike other fighting weights, heavyweights are usually well under the maximum allowable weight. That's because you come to a point where you've got too much muscle mass and that using it all burns so much energy that your body can't keep up. You know, there's only so much your heart, your lungs, there's only so much muscle you can service. And Noah Bolter, like, there's an awful lot of muscle.
He's a big dude.
Like, he's so strong. Like, some of those hand passes sort of break the speed of sound. You just sort of, you wonder, it's interesting that he can still combine an enormous muscle mass with a reasonable amount of endurance. Do you know what it almost reminds me of?
Dolph Lundgren?
Well, no. I think Ivan Solder did actually have some endurance problems. You'll see that Brocky clearly came back in the late rounds. I know this comparison has been made before, so it's not brilliant, but a bit richer is almost that he doesn't need to come off the ground.
Yeah, that's true. And as he gets, because players normally naturally put on a bit of bulk as they get older, he's the challenge for him is actually to stay trim. At the other end of that spectrum is Tim English, who the Bulldogs have the worst hit out ratio of any team in the AFL, and he's still a promising player. Yeah, it's a weird combination.
Yeah, terrible. Not a great case for Ruckman matter because, I mean, he gets a bit round the ground, like he had 14 last week.
Mm. He does, and he played great. Against Essendon, I think.
Yeah, he had 14 against last time he played us. My bad. Mm. But yeah, he's it will be an important game for Soldo to convert his rocking dominance. And look, last week he was fine overall, generally, like criticism made. If he doesn't give up the Mark Jacobs, I'm quite chuffed with his game.
Yeah, he definitely won the matchup.
Yeah.
I really like Cody Waitman. It's such a shame he's not a relation of Dale. But yeah, he's the Dogs' first round draft pick, and just won it last year, and just the really classic high energy, pull something out of nothing forward pocket. They are a likable team, but not this week.
Big game.
If you want one final thought, Andy, I was reading the football almanac, which I'd recommend for everyone because, there's an awful lot of Richmond content in it. But reading it, I realised that amidst all the chaos of 2020, I had the thought that my seven-year-old daughter has seen as many premierships in her lifetime as Eddie Maguire has. And that made me really happy.
That is a good start to finish on.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're at Richmond.
For the strong and the bold who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years, this one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never wait until the
last one.
Celebration of all good things Richmond right now.
Come from
nowhere. Alex Rance.
Never not going to go, was he? Was he?
Pick up from Cotchin. Left off snap. The goal of the game.
Trent, Zimmer and Renegade deserve all credit. They've built something fantastic and they just got to keep riding away.
Martin, 3 votes.